you have your Bibles this morning, I would ask you if you would find, please, the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, find if you can, the third chapter, although we will begin a little bit here in chapters 1 and 2. By about this time, your Bible should start finding a memory to the book of Ecclesiastes as we have begun a study and a series on this book written thousands of years ago, written by a man named Solomon, whom you know if you are any kind of Bible student. A book that, although that it was written thousands of years ago, I find is as relevant today as any news or newspaper you could ever read. Actually, it will be more helpful to you than any other thing you can read, for it is the true Word of God. And we have entitled this series, When Worlds Collide. When Worlds Collide. And really, what you are reading and what I am preaching is an experiment that happened in the life of King Solomon. This was an experiment that Solomon did when he set out with all of his wealth and all of his wisdom and all of his work to find out what life would be like apart from God. Solomon tried to find meaning in life solely from a human perspective. He phrased or entitled this perspective with words called under the sun, S-U-N. When you read the book of Solomon and you come to the phrase under the sun, you will find that this phrase is mentioned 29 times in this book. And so Solomon had set out to really answer this question: is life worth living apart from God? And he invested himself. He said, I gave my heart to know this. And Solomon began this search and wanted to see what life was all about. He wanted to know the meaning of life. I find that very relevant today because we still live in a world where people search for the meaning of life. You might be here today in a search for meaning to your life. As you look at your own personal life, as you look at life as a country, as we look at life and as it is in the world, there is still, and I do believe until the day that it's all said and done, there will be this search for meaning to life. Man must have meaning. Man was not made not to have meaning and understanding. I'll show you a verse here where it talks about how God set eternity in the heart of man. And so Solomon set out on this journey to see, if I set God aside and I have no heavenly perspective at all, and I just look through life from a human perspective, is life worth living? Is there any gain or is there any profit to life? And so he began this search, and it began with chapter number 1, verse number 1, and it went through to chapter 2, verse number 23. And when you get to verse number 23, this is a kind of a summation of where Solomon is at this moment. And he says, for all his days are sorrows, speaking of a man with this perception, his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also what class? Vanity. The word vanity means empty, meaningless, futile, without purpose. It's a horrific feeling within the heart of mankind. And so Solomon said, when I gave my heart to know life without God, and I came to the end of this search, I found that life without God is vexing. It's vain. It has an impact upon a man that is almost not able to put into words. And so Solomon searched for things in life, much like you do. Look, if you would, at verse number 10 in chapter number 2. Solomon said, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them." And so Solomon immersed himself in this search. I want to ask you just kind of a parenthesis here. Do you have power over your eyes? Well, Solomon says, whatever was in front of my eyes, I gave myself to it. Solomon's basically saying, I unleashed my flesh without any restraint from God, and whatever was set before mine eyes, I went after it with all of my heart. You know, one of the great privileges of knowing the Lord Jesus is that the power of sin is broken in our life. Amen. And so I find that sin no longer has to reign or have dominion in my life. And so Solomon, setting God aside, whatever was before his eyes, he had the money to afford, he had the wisdom to figure out, he had the appetite to just satisfy, and he unleashed himself into this search. Chapter 2, the first 8 or 9 verses, will show you all the things that he searched for. Ultimately, Solomon had a goal. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. I withheld not my heart from any, what's that word? Joy. Any joy. And so Solomon said, if I strip God away from life, will it be profitable? And will I know joy? Now, I think joy is something only Jesus can give. Joy and happiness are two different things. The Bible talks about the Lord Jesus giving us his joy, and we could be in good cheer. He has overcome the world. And so Solomon went on an experiment to see if he could find joy in the things of life apart from God. Not only did he want to know joy, look if you would at verse number 11. Verse number 12. He said, I turned myself to behold wisdom, madness, and folly, wisdom or knowledge. And so Solomon says, now I'm on this search for joy. And I do believe there's still a search for joy today in our world. And that's why a man would go after alcohol. That's why a woman will go after drugs. That's why a person would cheat on their spouse. And that's why people will be dishonest. That's why people will do anything they can to get just a moment of joy. Let me rephrase this. There is joy only in Jesus Christ. So Solomon says, I went after joy, and I went after wisdom, and I went after knowledge. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. When I went after all of this, here's a description of his own life. So I was what? Great. Solomon said, I was great, and I increased in more than all that were before me. Solomon says, I had it all. I kept not my heart from anything. Verse number 11, he says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. Look, if you would, at verse number 17. Therefore, I, what are those two words? Hated life. So Solomon said, I went on this search. I wanted to know, humanly speaking, setting God aside, is there any profit in life? Can life apart from God bring me joy? Can it bring me knowledge? Can it bring me wisdom? And so he went after everything the world had to offer. And Solomon stood back and he said, man, I had it all. And he said, what I thought was going to bring me satisfaction, or what I thought was going to bring me purpose or meaning in life, when I got everything I could want, I hated my life. I hated my life. Now, to me, that is perplexing and discouraging. Maybe you've had this experience. Maybe you're out there right now. And you have went after joy and knowledge and wisdom, and you have gotten your dream, and you have found out that it's meaningless or it's purposeless or it's not satisfying. This is what Solomon did. And so Solomon, in the midst of this experience, began to face depression and disparity and all kinds of things that were hard on him. Look, if you would, at chapter 2, verse number 20. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. And so Solomon knew the heaviness of discouragement and depression. And Solomon began to come to the point where life was vain and vexing in him. And Solomon began to understand that there was no joy, there was no wisdom, and there was no knowledge. Now here's the problem. Solomon, even though he was experiencing these things, was a wise man. And Solomon, even though that he was having these thoughts and these understandings, Solomon still knew truth. This is the same guy that stood in front of that temple and prayed, and God came and filled that temple. This is the same guy that had God's power all over his life. So he's in this experiment. He's feeling and sensing these things, but he knows the truth in his heart. And by the way, I don't care how you feel or what your experience is, truth is truth, and God's truth will trump your experience. It will trump your feeling or your emotionalism. And so here's Solomon, and Solomon is looking at life, and he says, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Life was not made to be like this. So chapter 2, verse number 24, is one of the first of seven solutions that Solomon gives in the book of Ecclesiastes. Powerful verses are verses 24, 25, and 26. He says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and should enjoy and make his and should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Look at verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is what class? Good. In his sight. Now look at this. God gives a man wisdom, knowledge, and what? And joy. Now to the sinner he giveth travail to gather to heap up that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. And so Solomon feels the joy of life sucked away from him. And Solomon is headed into this isolation pit of despair. I want to say just a word about isolationism. Isolationism is dangerous to you. You hear the pastor. Nobody has the problems that I have. Nobody sees the world like I see the world. I got news for you. We all have problems. Okay. Pastor, I just can't stand to be around people. You're in trouble. Pastor, I just don't have any drive anymore. I don't do anything. Nothing is satisfying to me. You're in trouble. Pastor, I basically just pretty much stay in my house. You're in trouble. The path, the end game of isolationism is life's over. Life's over. So what happens? Same thing is happening to people today that happened to Solomon. Solomon set God aside and he tried to find the meaning of life without God. And literally it sucked his joy, his wisdom, his knowledge. It vexed him to his very soul to where he was brought to this pit of despair and depression, and it almost crushed him. But then Solomon realized something. Solomon realized that life is not supposed to be like that. Solomon realized that life is a gift from God. If you agree with that, say amen. God didn't give you life for it to be miserable. God didn't give you life to vex you. If you're vexed with your life, it's not God's fault. And Solomon says, wait a minute. God gives to a man life. God gives to a man life to enjoy. God gives to a man wisdom. God gives to a man knowledge. God gives to a man joy. And so Solomon's worlds are colliding in his heart and his mind. And in one aspect, he's vexed under the sun. But over the sun, understanding God, there's this opportunity for life to be awesome and filled with faith and for God to do wonderful and mighty things. And I really believe that our churches today are filled with Christians who are vexed. Vexed. You don't enjoy life. And in some capacity, we have the ability to think that that's God's fault. And I'm going to show you this in just a moment. Let me tell you something. God has no fault. God's never your problem. God's never the one who's done wrong. I have found that when God and I come to blows, I'm the one that's always wrong. And so are you. Okay? So Solomon's on this experiment here, and the experiment is vexing him, but he knows that this is not a reality. Now, in chapter number 3, Solomon has been watching life. And he has made a discovery about life. And in verse number 1, he understands that life really is made up of seasons. And he understands to everything there is a season. That word season is an appointed time. There's a time to every purpose under the heaven. And so Solomon, as he's looking at life, he finds 28 seasons. And what he does is he takes these 28 seasons and he puts them into 14 pairs of two. So polarizing are these seasons that they can't but help to arrest your attention. And look, if you would, at verse number 2. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now, Solomon has realized in life that really and truthfully, lives go in a seasonal manner. Perplexing was this to him in his experiment from a humanist perspective only without God. Look at verse number 9. What profit, what gain hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be, what's that word, class? Exercise. Not happy, but exercise. Hold your hand here. Go to Genesis chapter 8. Look at verse number 22. Wonderful verse that you need to understand this message. Genesis chapter 8. Noah has just gotten off the ark. He has offered up his sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. The Lord has smelled it and said it is a sweet savor unto the Lord, unto him. And in verse number 22, the Lord makes Noah a promise. And the promise is, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not, what class? Cease. So God promised that there would always be seasons. So when Hollywood does their commercials and they show you the polar bear and they tell you one day there'll be no more winter, they're a liar. Amen. So when they show you the heat rising and there'll be no more cold, or the cold and there'll be no more heat, God said as long as there is the earth, there will be seasons. He promised it. Oh yeah, Pastor, but that's the problem because we're destroying the earth. No, no. The Bible also said that the earth is forever. So don't let them put you in a panic. Now, I don't care how sober the music or how star power the person is there. Anybody that speaks against the Bible is truth every time. And so seasons are promised. as long as the earth remaineth, and the earth is forever. Now, it will be renovated by fire, but it is forever. And so there will be seasons to this, and we count on them. Solomon has been looking at life, and Solomon sees seasons that are happening in people's lives. And what Solomon understands is that these seasons are ordained. They're set. Sometimes this season has something to do fully with God, sometimes with man, but there are moments in life that come. And he says life is seasonal and mutable, which means it changes. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate. There'll be a time for war, there'll be a time for peace. There'll be a time to be born, there'll be a time to die. There'll be a time to embrace, to refrain from embracing, to build up, to tear down, to gather stones, to put them together. And Solomon says, now, man, when I look at life apart from God, I think, what profit is there in life? How can I trust life? How can I interpret these seasons? There's no gain. He stepped back and he just simply said, man, that's vexing on my soul. Every person in this room will experience seasons in their life. Their seasons will be promised. As you read these seasons, some of them are simpler than others. Some of them have pain. Some of them have joy. Some of them are heinous. Some of them are harmless. Some of them have hope. Some of them are dark. Some of them are close. Some of them are distant. As you read these seasons about life. And Solomon says, now as I'm examining life, I see that these seasons are ordained. They're set in our lives. They come. They make life so flexible or so insecure from a human point that I'm not necessarily sure that there's even any profit to life. So maybe that's you. Maybe you look at the past of your life and you see no profit in the future of your life. I've been through that. That hurt. That was that. This is that. And so now I really see no profit in life, and we're just set in this big cycle. And so I just can't wait to the day my life is over. Let me tell you something. There's hope for you. His name is Jesus Christ. But our world lives like that. And so to escape the reality of their insecurity, they got to stay drunk, or they got to stay high, or they got to have a fresh relationship, or they got to buy something new, or they got to travel here or move there or go there. Anything so they don't have to face their life. And so that's pretty much relevant for the world we live in. And Solomon says, with a human perspective, this is exercising in my life. What gain is there? How can I ever be sure of anything? I'm up one day, down the next. Happy one day, sad the next. All of my labor, I'm exercised by. Nothing brings me happiness. Let me ask you a question. Are you miserable? Wife, don't answer for your husband. Husband, don't answer for your wife. Are you miserable? Solomon said, when I went on this search, come back to chapter 2, verse number 23. He said, one of the problems was that my heart taketh not rest in the night. In the night. Aren't you glad for the peace of God? Aren't you glad you know the truth if you know the Lord? I love to watch panic in the world. Whenever I want to see panic, I watch Fox News. Nobody highlights panic better than Fox News. Man, they got the world coming to an end and rah, 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 rah. Whenever I want to watch the world panic, I watch Fox News. But I don't live in that panic. I live with peace. I'm going to say that again. I live with peace. If you do, say amen. So, seasons are promised in human life. And seasons of life that are mentioned here, difficulties that you and I go through, not only are they promised, but they have a purpose. And you need to understand this purpose. Solomon says they have a sovereign ordination to them, which means they come from God. And God will let the seasons of life affect you for his purpose. Go to verse number 14 of chapter number 3, and I'll show you his purpose. Solomon said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be what? Forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should what, class? Fear before him. Now that fear is not where God is this ogre and he wants everybody to fear that he's just this dictator. But Solomon said, when I look at a human perspective, I was born and I'm going to die. Pretty fatalistic. Sometimes people are so foolish. They're like, man, if I just knew when I would die, was going to die, I could really live my life. That's insane. If you knew that you were going to die on such and such a day, you would be the most fatalistic person in the world. That's why God doesn't tell you when you're going to die. So, Pastor, from the moment I'm being born, I'm dying. How's that for a good church service? Don't you feel like lunch now? Let's go celebrate. Pray to God be the glory. I'm dying. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. Pastor, in my life, there's a time to love and there's a time to hate. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. There's a time for building and tearing down. All these seasons God ordains in your life. He ordains these in your life for a purpose, that you and I would know that our God is all powerful. He's the true and living God. And God will break into your life and expose himself so that you and I would fear him, humble ourselves to him. Now, Solomon said, if I don't know that God is the one ordaining the seasons of my life, and I just look at the problems or trials of life, it vexes me so bad life's not even worth living. But when I understand that God is using these to humble me and bring about a reverence and a worship and for me to see the glory and power of my God so God could do something. He said that brings rest to my soul. That brings peace to my life. That brings purpose. So I'm going to be real tender here, but I'm going to be real personal here. Christian, you need this message just as much as anybody else does. See, it's one thing to tell the unsaved person, yeah, you don't have Christ in you, so you look at life and you're not able to measure that with God, and you see all these things. But when you have the Lord, you will find that he will open up your eyes and he will open up to you the truth and he will be your all in all. Amen. But sometimes Christians that even know the Lord and God unleashes a season in your life designed to make you know him in a greater way, and we get so bitter at God about that. And we suck from our life the reality and the goodness of God. And then we let these seasons vex us so much that we even have the audacity to say, God, you hurt me. God, you wronged me. How could you do that to me? My whole life was great. You destroyed it all. And I'm watching Christian people vex over a sovereign God moving in your life for his purpose. To reveal himself to you in a marvelous way, to bring about a fear and a reverence in your heart. And we don't humble to that. Instead, we get bitter and we get angry. I'm asking you, Christian, are you sitting here angry and bitter at God for his intrusion in your life? Solomon said, now there's a purpose here. Now, once this purpose is understood, some realities are here. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. He says in verse number 11, He hath made everything, how, class? Beautiful, where? In His time. In His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. That is, it is the gift of God. So when God unfolds these seasons in our life, He does them for purpose. The purpose is that we would fear the Lord. Now, your responsibility is to understand that God has the ability to make all things beautiful. See, the season of your life can be ugly and heinous and harmful and hurtful and destructive. It can take like a hurricane and flip our worlds up. It can come in like a flood and drown everything we have. But God is unloading those things to direct our lives. Now, the person that strips God away from that, you'll look back and you'll say, you'll curse God and die. You'll be vexed in your spirit. But the person that understands that what God is doing, we have the ability to look back over our life and we can see how even God can use what we thought was heinous and harmful and destructive and how God directs that and makes that beautiful in my life. And I have seen people stand and raise their hand and say, to God be the glory for the great things He has done. And those great things have been beyond what you could ever dream. But they knew that God was involved in that. So what's your responsibility? Your responsibility in the midst of your season is to trust the Lord. He's trustworthy. God didn't kill your dream to vex you. God didn't take your spouse to vex you. God didn't destroy your vision. God didn't bring you misery to vex you. God is working in your life to bring you to a position to know Him in a great and intimate way. Amen. And by the way, our God is good and faithful. Amen. But if you don't inject God into this, you'll be vexed. Not only must you trust the Lord, but you got to wait with patience. Solomon said, now, God's put eternity in the heart of man, and no man can find out what God is doing. You're to judge nothing before the time. We're to believe that God doeth all things well. And so while I'm trusting the Lord, I'm waiting with patience for full discovery. Sometimes you got to wait for God to finish in your season what He wants to finish. See, do you believe God's good? See, if you believe He's good, then when the seasons come, patient, I'm waiting, I'm trusting, I'm not running, I'm not cursing, I'm not doing this, I'm waiting on God to do what God wants to do in my life to bring me to a position to bow my knee and lift my hands and say, what a mighty God You are. Solomon said, when you look at life apart from God, the seasons will vex you. But when you look at life with the Lord, God will take those seasons. He'll bless your life. Amen. Amen. So where do we go with this, Pastor? It deals with what you believe about the Lord. Christian, let me hit you a little bit between the eyes. Shame on you. And shame on me. If this is the way I'm handling my life right now. Nobody knows my trouble.
I don't know if that was on tune or not. Don't tell me. Nobody knows my problems. Nobody knows my sorrows. God, you mistreated me. I tried you, Jesus, and you didn't work. Let me tell you something. Jesus works every time. You didn't work. So you need to come down, fall on your face, and say, forgive me, God. I'm wrong. And realize that when the seasons come, they've got purpose. And then those seasons become precious because they prove to you that life has no meaning without the Lord. And with the Lord, there's joy, there's wisdom, and there's knowledge. Now, your world will collide, baby. And it's still colliding today. What world are you going to live in? Shall we pray?